been running now.
Right now. But you got to take it all over top. It's Armia. Armia. It's Armia. It's Armia. You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
This is the Quality News Network. Today, the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency released a report which said Iran has not suspended its enrichment-related activities and is continuing that work. Iran failed to meet the UN-imposed deadline Wednesday to halt its uranium enrichment program. West of Baghdad today, U.S. troops raided a car bomb factory. They reportedly found five buildings filled with propane tanks and other chemicals believed to be used in the manufacture of car bombs. In the Sunni stronghold of Ramadi today, U.S. troops fought insurgents in a six-hour battle. The U.S. military said that at least 12 people were killed. Iraqi officials say the death toll is 26 and that women and children were among the dead. Across Baghdad today, 14 bodies were found. Today is the first anniversary of the bombing of the Shiite shrine at Samarra, which set off a year-long wave of sectarian killings and reprisals. The mosque still stands in ruins. Vice President Dick Cheney made a stop in Australia today after his trip to Japan. Demonstrators clashed with police before his visit in Sydney. Australia is one of the closest U.S. allies in the Iraq War and the War on Terror. Today is the second day of jury deliberations in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial. The former chief of staff to Vice President Cheney faces perjury and obstruction of justice charges. A national assessment released today finds that high school students' reading skills have not improved, even though they are taking tougher courses and earning better grades. There were several explanations offered for the discrepancy, including grade inflation and changes in grading standards. The History Department at Middlebury College has banned the use of the Wikipedia as a research source citation. The collaborative online encyclopedia has been subject to mistakes and some deliberate falsehoods. Since Hurricane Katrina hit, the volunteer group Habitat for Humanity says it has helped rebuild 416 homes along the Gulf Coast. However, the massive storm a year and a half ago destroyed at least 250,000 homes in the region. China views internet addiction as a serious social problem. Addicts are treated with electroshock therapy to cure them. A recent survey found that close to 14% of Chinese teens may become addicted to the internet. And the Bush administration will exempt children under the age of 16 from new rules that require adults to show passports at land and sea entry points. This is the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The New Zealand Fisheries Minister reports that fishermen in the Antarctic waters caught a rare giant squid weighing an estimated 990 pounds. It could be the largest such squid ever caught. Cisco Systems and Apple Inc. have settled their dispute over the newly unveiled iPhone. The two companies have agreed to share the name. Cisco had filed a trademark infringement suit against Apple. Three cleaning company executives are accused by federal authorities of keeping almost $19 million in unpaid taxes through the employment of illegal immigrants who came from Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala. The companies were subject to a recent sweep by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. The Labor Department reports that last week the number of unemployed workers who applied for jobless benefits fell by 27,000. The total number of claims for the week was 332,000. The world's largest natural and organic grocery chain, Whole Foods Market, wants to buy its smaller competitor, Wild Oats Market, for 500 $65 million. And KFC, the chicken restaurant chain, wants Pope Benedict to bless its new fish snacker sandwich, which the company hopes will be popular during Lent. Light sweet crude is trading at $60.95 a barrel. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow was down 52 points, NASDAQ up 7, S&P 500 down 1. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. All right, Thursday already, and we didn't quite get around to doing prayer meeting quite right last night, so we'll get started this evening with some stuff that should have probably been more properly placed in Wednesday's program, but that's okay because, you know, we're not authoritarian. We're not rule-oriented. We're not utterly and hopelessly obsessed with going by some arbitrary set of rules. Okay? Right? That is right, isn't it? Anyway, you know me. I'm Bob Kincaid. And I'm just tickled to death. 4 days running. It'll be a week back behind the microphone as of tomorrow evening. Hang on a minute. Yeah, that's wood, and I'm knocking on it. You know, I can't tell you how good this all feels, and so great to be back with all of you, hearing from you, seeing your thoughts in my email, that kind of thing. As I said, a holdover from last night. You all remember the Reverend Ted Haggard, don't you? The Crystal Methodist, as it were. He went into that intensive de-gayification project, 90 days long, where he was subjected to daily inquiry, daily intensive spiritual seeking and searching and... about 2 weeks ago now, one of the guys in charge came out and said that he was completely de-gayified. That's right. We went into his home. We got all of his Barbra Streisand and Judy Garland records. We cleared out his cache of Marilyn Monroe posters. There's not a single copy of Oscar Wilde left in his home. And to top it all off, we took away both his DVD and his videotape copies of The Wizard of Oz. That's right, Reverend Ted Haggard has been completely de-gayified. That was the announcement about 2 weeks ago. And as a result of that, one of the people who was de-gayifying Reverend Haggard, the Reverend Tim Ralph, really, the Reverend Tim Ralph, or I don't know, maybe he's one of the Fiennes clan, maybe he's the Reverend Tim Rafe. He said that he was sure that the Reverend Ted Haggard had only had sex with one gay hooker and no other gay hookers and certainly nobody else. The Reverend Tim Ralph, geez, that just doesn't work for me, said In investigating Haggard's assertion that his extramarital sexual contact was limited to former male escort Mike Jones, see, he's not even a male escort, he's a former male escort now. The board talked to people close to Haggard and found no evidence contradicting him, Ralph said. Here's the quote. If we're going to be proved wrong, somebody else is going to come forward, and that usually happens really quickly. How would he know? How much experience does he have with this? We're into this thing over 90 days, and it hasn't happened. That's all well and good, but that's kind of an oopsie. Because they ran a little investigation inside the megachurch where the Reverend Dr. Pastor Ted was a preachifying. And they called it a reality verification. This is the quote from that report. We have done extensive fact-finding into this lifelong battle with a dark side, which he said in his confession letter has been a struggle for years, according to Pastor Larry Stockstill. Where do they get these names? Part of the church's board of overseers told the 14,000-member megachurch congregation this past Sunday, quote, we have verified the reality of that struggle through numerous individuals who reported to us firsthand knowledge of everything from sordid conversation to overt suggestions to improper activities to improper relationships. These findings established a pattern of behavior that culminated in the final relationship in which Ted was, as a matter of grace, caught. Huh? Somebody please take that last sentence out and shoot it and put it out of its misery. These findings established a pattern of behavior that culminated in the final relationship in which Ted was, as a matter of grace, caught. I thought he was caught with Mike, not Grace. So as John Ponder over at Pensito Review notes, no elaboration is necessary. Pastor Ted was perving on men in his church, and even leading some of them astray. Some of them are probably burning and passing out Judy Garland albums even as we speak. So, you know, there's a right-wing religion story. They can't even be honest with themselves. Pathetic. It is truly, honestly pathetic. Mercy sakes. Oh, he's been de-gayified. We found out he just had that one little gay encounter while he was honking on the meth pipe. These people are so sad and so sick and so sorry. Trying to cure a man of being gay when they need to be collectively cured of being almost terminal bigots. Somebody else is going to come forward. Well, no, they just talked about it amongst themselves, Reverend Ralph. Why do I have this image of Ralph Mouth from Happy Days flashing through my brain now? It hurts, I promise you, it hurts. So, nothing changes. Same old, same old. And the perving will continue. Oh, by the way, just in case you were worried that maybe Reverend Ted was going to have to go out and hustle meth on the street, meth and massages, you know, M&Ms, meth and massages on the streets. No, he's still getting his $130,000. That's $130,000 annual salary. We have verified the reality of Haggard's struggle through numerous individuals who reported to us firsthand knowledge of everything from sordid conversation, the mind wonders, to overt suggestions, can I give you a back rub? To improper activities, here, smoke this, to improper relationships. What is? Okay, so we've done our good deed. Noted the fact that the right wing religion industry really is just sort of nasty. But when have they not been nasty? But really, far more than that, if you really want to talk about something that where's the con? Haven't seen any. You know, I hit the right wing websites, the right wing religion industry websites, fairly frequently just to see what they're thinking, what they're talking about. You know, I check out the American Family Association. Lately, they've been, as I noted a couple of nights ago, all burned up about National Public Radio. I know. But what it's always, when you go to those sites, it's what you don't see. Now, this story has been out for about a week now, and I can't find anything on in the right wing religion industry websites about it. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard of it. We should have talked about it before now, because it really is far more news than some of the stuff that's being passed off as news. The UNICEF report out in the last week. And we will. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this UNICEF report that ranked the well-being of the British and U.S. children as compared to other so-called industrialized nations in the industrialized world. So we will come back in a couple of minutes or so. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Email roars into bob@headonradio.com. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Welcome back. 21 minutes after the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. As I noted, a report came out, about a week ago from UNICEF. British and American children in the report rank among the worst off in the industrialized world when it comes to children's well-being. This sort of takes me back a little bit to the email we had from our good friend Tosh that I shared with you last night, in which he asks why it is that all the free market dominated states are always the ones with the worst of the social problems. Whether it's teen pregnancy, whether it's workers' rights, whether it's average pay, whether it's workers' safety, without fail, the right-to-work states always lag miserably behind the states where, among other things, organized labor is strong, where there's an active safety infrastructure. And it's not coincidental. It's consistent. And the same thing applies to this UNICEF report. You want to talk about a failure of a group. We are at the United Kingdom, and more particularly the United States, are at rock bottom of 21 wealthy countries in the so-called industrialized world when it comes to how our children fare. And what, among other things, that the report points out is that a national wealth alone is not a sufficient, it doesn't guarantee that children will be well cared for. There are six categories: material well-being, health and safety, education, peer and family relationships, behaviors and risks, and young people's, their own sense, you know, hey, how do you think you're doing? You know, that subjective sense of well-being. And we're in the bottom third on the whole blessed thing. Dead last, the United States, among 21 nations for health and safety. They measure that in terms of infant mortality, low birth weight, immunization, and deaths from accidents and injuries. Now, of course, you know, how do you respond to something like that if you're the government? Well, the British government, among other things, said the data was outdated. You know, this isn't like they were using data from Charles Dickens's London. At any rate, according to the report, the one thing they could point out is that there is no obvious relationship between levels of child well-being and per capita gross domestic product. The Czech Republic ranks higher than us, Great Britain, France, Austria, and yet they have a lower per capita gross domestic product. And so to the same extent that that our good friend Tosh asked and I echoed why it is that the right-to-work states routinely have the lowest wages and the poorest safety records and the poorest working-class infrastructure, how is it that a nation that is chock-a-block with religion industry right-to-lifers is such an abject failure when it comes to guarding, cherishing, and preserving the lives of its children? Well, I suspect you already know the answer. Hypocrisy? That's an easy word. And yes, the right-to-lifers are abject, miserable, low-life hypocrites. Because things like this report point out in clear terms that they talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. You know, it would be very easy to look at a story like this and say, well, you know, George Bush, blah, 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 blah. And certainly the Bush administration is a huge component of it. But to the extent that we're talking about infant mortality and child safety, it's not so much the Bush administration as it is its enablers. The religion industry fundamentalists and the people who say every life is precious and that's why pharmacists shouldn't be able to sell the morning after pill. Generally speaking, in the report, European countries were in the upper half of the statistics. And places like the Netherlands and Sweden, Denmark and Finland were in the top four spots. Spain and Portugal were higher in terms of family support and levels of trust with friends and peers. And the U.S. and Great Britain, just watching, I suppose. You know, think about it. I don't know what it's like where you are. But what are we cutting? I've got some statistics to share with you here from an article by Matt Tabibi from Rolling Stone about amongst all the speculation as to the state of decomposition of Anna Nicole Smith, whether or not Britney was in or out of rehab, and whether or not she was stalking FedEx or KFed or what the heck ever he is. And 30-minute digressions on a 10-car pileup on a highway in South Florida on one of the cable news channels. In the midst of all of this, just not a heck of a lot of talk about the Bush administration's latest budget. But Matt Tabibi has done a nice blog posting. I'll share it with you in a little bit. Based on some information that is coming out of Senator Bernie Sanders' office. That's got a nice ring to it, Senator Bernie Sanders. That shows exactly what the Bush proposed budget means for America. And, you know, let me give you a hint. It doesn't mean good tidings. It doesn't mean a secure future for America's middle class or lower class children. That whole up by your own bootstraps thing, well, I guess that's all well and good if there's a boot attached to the bootstraps, but you know, the budget that the Bush administration's proposed is all strap and no boot. So, you know, maybe that's a theme we can work tonight if you want to. The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. And we've got Jim calling in from a remote, undisclosed location in the wilds of West Virginia. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
How you doing?
Well, I'm well. Yourself?
Okay, you've got the cart before the horse. You mean it's all boot, no strap, and the boot's up your rear end. That's where it is.
Well, now, see, you can, you, You got to have the rest of the boot to pull on. If there's no strap, there's nothing to pull yourself up with.
Well, I think they're probably just going to leave it in there, I'll tell you. As far as Reverend Ted is concerned, I want to give you a sit rep on him. He has had Anita Bryant's course be a homo nomo. And he now has a new name according to his church, and he is Elijah Minnelli.
Oh, ba-dum-bum. You've got a million of them tonight.
He is.
Elijah Minnelli.
Elijah Minnelli. That's his name. Exactly. And he just graduated successfully from Be a Homo Nomo. So he's just fine. And if you want to believe that, I've got some land up in the Verrazano Bridge I want to sell you, too.
Well, I don't think the cure is going to take, do you?
Well, I mean, it's kind of like trying to break a dog with chasing cars, Bob. You know better than that, and I do, too.
Well, I feel, you know, if it weren't for all the rank hate and hypocrisy involved and all of his preaching and all of his attempts to make other people miserable, you'd almost feel sorry for the guy, because even if the de-gayification process, so-called, takes, that just means he's going to live a life of closeted misery. And I don't think anybody deserves that.
Well, I don't either. And, you know, it just appears to me, and you mentioned Anna Nicole, I watched part of that. I have watched that, and I'm ashamed to say that I did, but I just want to see what they would do, because the judge, and we're changing gears here, the craziest person in the whole courtroom was the judge. I mean, he was absolutely nuts, and he made the American judicial system look like something that was absolutely ridiculous. I mean, this guy was crying, and he was trying to be too folksy and too cutesy and calling people not by their names but by their state. And, you know, he did in 3 days what should have taken an hour to do. And it was absolutely ridiculous. And yet American attention is focused on that crap that's coming over MSNBC and Court TV. And then we, since 2001, are being victimized by what I consider to be self-inflicted wounds. And when I looked at those buildings, when they went down, I just happened to take a look at some stuff recently about the World Trade Center, and I realize I'm jumping all over the map here, but give me license to do so. I am more firmly convinced that there was thermite and magnesium permanganate in those buildings, because when those buildings started to go down, it looked like a blast furnace pouring out something from a crucible. And when WT number 7 went down, it looked like a building that had been imploded. It had to have been preset charges. I never thought I would say that, but I do believe it now. And our other nation that you mentioned in the UNICEF report, that tube thing, that was a setup too. Those tube shootings and things like that in the subway. So it just goes to show you that in order to cover up this stuff and to divert the American and the British public's mind away from things of this nature, they're going to have all types of bread and circuses, whether it's a woman driving around in a loaded diaper or Britney Spears doing her latest stupid thing or Anna Nicole Smith's remains, or what they're going to do with them. And it's just absolutely ridiculous. But like I say, this country is not only becoming a white trash nation, but it's one that is really dying of what I consider to be self-inflicted wounds.
Well, is there any turning around from it, Jim?
I don't know. You can only go so far before you just go with the precipice, and, you know. And I don't know what kind of drag chute or parachute we've got. I don't know.
They hauled up Larry King a little bit early to get some commentary from him on CNN today. And he was so addled and out of it that he kept talking about, well, they're going to bury the baby in the Bahamas.
Oh, hell, Larry King will interview anybody. I mean, I don't know what his problem is, but I mean...
But he's got him burying the living baby. Jeez.
You know...
I mean, do we not have the right to expect a little bit of, you know, just base-level competency, Jim?
I don't know, but I mean, if you could see this woman prancing around, and I used to watch her on E! Back in the, you know, just for the hell of it, and just to see what outrageous things she would do. And she was completely zonked out of her mind on everything possible. And the one that I felt the sorriest for was her son, because he would always try to avoid this camera. he was embarrassed. You could tell he was about 16, or I guess 16 then. And then, of course, now the judge has decided, and he could not decree, he wanted them to have her buried next to her son. And then, of course, you've got the mother in there and all those other people in there. And if she didn't have the possibility of money or some type of potential income from that lawsuit, they would not care if she were placed in a landfill. That's the hypocrisy of it. And they had 18 lawyers in there for 24 hours, 3 days, okay? Now, a lawyer in court, standard fee is $400 an hour. Now, 18 times 24 times 400 is $172,800.
Nice work if you can get it.
That's it. You got it. And if that's where it's going, and even on court TV, they had a man who said this judge was an absolute disgrace. He would make all kinds of comments about his family and talk about how he jogged 4 miles every morning. And, you know,
most of the American people, Jim, don't even know enough about the American judicial system to know that this guy wasn't a trial judge.
No,
I mean, this guy wasn't even competent to hear a traffic ticket. All he was a probate judge.
Yeah, but he and a family court judge, and he sat on the bench. He was 56, and he said he had been on the bench for 30 years. And I thought to myself, doing this? Our Lord, I just could not believe the way it's just another example of, he is an example of a self-inflicted wound on our judicial system. Well, of course, we've got the biggest one in the world up there, the Attorney General. What can I tell you about that, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't surprise me, but I've been going on about white trash world. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, I don't mean to be offensive in the term white trash, but I mean, I don't know what other term to call it. It's just ridiculous. And all these people up there being, you know, up there after her remains, and like I said, if she didn't have the money that she may or may not inherit from that old man that she married, then they could have cared less if they'd put her in landfill.
Well, there's an element of truth in what you say. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of Britney. I'm yearning to see some old fashioned, honest to God journalism happen on TV.
Yeah, it would be nice. It would be nice. It would be nice, absolutely, to see it free of that. But it seems as though that's the direction they're going, because Court TV reported that their viewership in the past 3 days had accelerated 80%. So, you know, if you want to look for the real index there, I think it's in your rating system.
You know what I saw CNN do this morning, Jim? Mm-hmm. And this had nothing to do with Anna Nicole Smith or even Britney, so, you know, that was a little surprising. They ran footage, and they said, ladies and gentlemen, this is footage of an airplane landing at L.A. International Airport. There had been a report from the pilot that he was going to land the plane out of an abundance of caution because he thought there might be something wrong. What you're seeing now is the plane landing safely. And it's just at LAX, God knows how many times a day, this is how far they've sunken, Jim. They're showing planes landing.
Yeah, I've been through LAX. I know, and of course they had a run-in. They had some kind of minor street chase in Florida, and they cut from Anna Nicole to these guys that have stolen an SUV, and it shows them running them down from a helicopter. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they do all this stuff, but they're just up there. I guess the news thing is so competitive that people just want to see all this low-class action type stuff to titillate their senses.
I think it may also be the curse of the 24-hour news cycle finally coming around to bite these people.
And yet,
because they have divested themselves of real reporters.
Yeah, exactly. The reportage is just absolute at its lowest level. Well, it could go lower. And the thing about it is this: all this stuff reminds me of one thing, and I'll try to tie my call together with this. This is all part of double think and double speak. and it's almost really Orwellian in nature.
Well, that makes sense. It also makes, I don't know, there's a little bit of Brave New World in there too, isn't there?
If you want to add that ingredient to the pot, that's fine. But it's just that I thought of double think and double speak and all the things and the diversions and this, that, and the other to keep people's, to twist people's minds and their thought patterns and to keep their minds away from the real problem. And, you know, and basically, to lower the level of what I consider to be consciousness that is required for the citizenry of a responsible nation. And it's to divert our attention from the other more sinister things that are going on, like the planned thing they're going to have with Mr. Ahmadinejad in Iran, the fact that our soldiers in Iran aren't there to build peace, they're there to build permanent military installations, 14 of them, and other things of that nature, and the fact that we destroyed one of the most beautiful areas of Manhattan in New York. And I never thought I would say that or admit to it, but I have to say I really, in my, just my humble opinion, and I'm not expressing fact, just opinion, I do believe.
Well, it's hard not, yeah, it's hard not to come around
of self-inflicted wounds.
It's hard not to come around to the understanding that at the very minimum, we don't know what happened that day.
Well,
and we've not permitted to know.
And you look at what happened, and you can see the steel coming out of those buildings. It is liquid steel, like coming out of a crucible, as I said earlier in this conversation. I mean, and that was just not possible unless there were some elements ingredient added. Like, and I think your friend David from Maine, Brett, was that originally a long time ago. And when he started talking about thermite and magnesium permanganate, and maybe he will call in and revisit what he said earlier. But this is what was pointed out by experts and metallurgical people. And when you see WT number 7 go down, it looks like one of those buildings in the sands in Las Vegas that they, you know, destroyed to make room for another structure. You follow on?
Yeah, where everything falls neatly in one nice
It could be better. The building was literally imploded. But like I say, all this crap that you see is designed to detract the American viewing public from what they're really doing and to promote doublethink and doublespeak. And that's it.
Just all right. Well, thank you very much, Jim.
Well, I just thought I would add that to your program tonight, and I thank you for your time.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And we'll keep it rolling and go on to Susan in Columbia City, Oregon. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Well, I'm a little nervous.
How so?
Okay, there's a post up on the blog. I would definitely urge everybody go up and read it. If the link will take you to a New York Times editorial. If you can't get in there, it's up on Truthout. It seems that the Bushies have tried to slip one in on us. And what they did last October was pass legislation and sign it. It was signed into law in October that changes posse comitatus. It also changes the Insurrection Act of 1807. You're going to love this. The newly enacted provision upsets the careful balance. They shift the focus from making sure that federal laws are enforced to restoring public order. Beyond cases of actual insurrection, the president may now use military troops as a domestic policy force, a domestic police force, in response to a natural disaster, a disease outbreak, terrorist attack, or to any, quote, other condition, unquote.
Well, isn't that just the natural? Now, you said this happened in October?
Yep.
Well, isn't that about the same time that we got handed the death of habeas corpus?
Yep.
Is it part of the same thing, Susan, or is it separate?
No.
Legislation? I don't know.
Separate legislation. They slipped it in with it was quietly attached to the enormous defense budget bill. They slipped it in the middle of the night, and then nobody really noticed it was there.
You know, I'm getting a little tired, Susan, of the nobody noticed it was there thing, or it's the Patriot Act excuse. Well, you know, the bill was 400 pages long, and we didn't have time to read it because we had to vote on it the next day. Why are we sending these people to Congress if they won't at least... And posse comitatus is one of those things, Susan, that gets the right wing all up in arms.
Well, the right wing apparently doesn't know this thing is in there. There's a bipartisan bill introduced by Senators Leahy and Bond, and backed unanimously by the nation's governors, that would repeal this. But people need to get hold of their legislative delegation. Get hold of them and scream at them.
This is simply amazing.
Because what this does is this makes martial law real, real easy. If these are allowed to stand, there will be no 2008 election. And I'm not wearing a tinfoil hat. That's just the way it is.
No, I remember back before the 2004 election when the Bush administration floated the trial balloon. Well, if we have another terrorist attack, we might have to postpone the elections. You know, that's not me. That's not paranoid. That was their idea.
Mm-hmm. They didn't have the legal means at that time. They do now. They also have a very, very large amount of mercenaries in this country. They've got a private army.
Well, yeah, we saw that happen. We saw those guys used in the aftermath of Katrina.
Yes, and the first thing they did was went down and they were taking guns away from citizens. Whether they were fired or not, they were knocking on people's doors, asking if they had firearms and confiscating them. Now, you tell me where our Constitution went.
I've got a pretty good idea, Susan.
Right in the crapper.
Yeah, and not just that. It's one of those, you know, did it jump or was it pushed sort of things. And there was a lot of help along the way with this.
Yeah. But we need to get this thing repealed fast. Because, okay, the standard U.S. Army is not, you know, they're not going to fire on their own people. Those mercenaries, that's another matter entirely. They'll kill whoever their boss tells them to.
The strangest thing about all this, I'm looking at the editorial you referenced. This is out of the New York Times, and frankly, when I see things like this coming out of the New York Times, Susan, it makes me want to scream a little bit. You know, it's a little bit of one of those Elvis gun moments, because rather than being a bulwark against tyranny and a bulwark against dictatorship and a bulwark against the degradation of our constitutional rights, the New York Times is specifically responsible in part for the trouble we're in. You know, the cheerleading of Judy Miller and her passing along of all the dummied up, faked up, ginned up pre-war, it wasn't even evidence. It was just, God, it was worse rumor mongering than we're getting over Britney Spears.
I know. Apparently,
they helped this happen.
Apparently, somebody on the editorial board finally got the smarts to figure out, under martial law, hey, this newspaper goes down.
Well, do you see? I don't think the New York Times would go down. They would just quietly bow to the editorial control, because after all of this, you know, this stuff doesn't happen in a vacuum, and these editorials don't come along out of nowhere. It was the New York Times when the whole domestic spying thing was broken. The New York Times along the way admitted, for God's sakes, they admitted that they had this information since along about before the 2004 elections, but they kept it from the American people.
Yeah, until after.
That's how long they knew that George Bush was spying on the American people, and the White House said, would you pretty please not run that story for the sake of national security? And the New York Times said, well, okay, sure.
I don't know why this, let me try something. I'm going to see if it could be, anybody else has come up with it. Because if somebody else came up with it, they might have had, yeah, that might have been the reason.
Well, this is, Susan, I don't know where we turn with some of this stuff. Do you write a letter to the editor? Do you patiently and quietly and sweetly inform your elected representative that while they were asleep on the job and drawing their breath and their pay and doing little else, mm-hmm. that we, you know, we saw another bulwark of freedom just go ta-ta? What's the response? How in the name of God do we respond to this stuff, Susan?
Tell you the truth, I don't know, other than screaming at our delegations to get this thing reversed.
And of course, I see that it's got a Democrat sponsor and it's got a Republican sponsor. Dig it. If that thing can't get, if reversing that can't get 60 votes in the United States Senate, then people like Saxby Chambliss and Jeff Sessions and Shelby, Senator Shelby, and Jim DeMint and all the uber right wing freaks, they don't have a majority in the Senate anymore, but they've got enough to make sure that George Bush continues his move toward dictatorship. And remember, it's not just George Bush, it's whoever comes next.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Rudy Giuliani, the guy who was mayor of New York when Amadou Diallo was shot, 41 times?
Mm-hmm. In the back.
Yeah, can you imagine a Rudy Giuliani with that kind of power? Sometimes I wish we had more right-wingers that listened to this program, because I would like to honestly ask them, do you want to live in an America where Hillary Clinton has that power?
Yeah.
Do you want to live in America where Barack Obama or Dennis Kucinich or John Edwards has that power?
These Republicans had better pay attention, because the next one is probably going to be a Republican, is probably going to be a Democrat, assuming there is an election at all.
Precisely. So
if there isn't an election, I'm packing up hubby and we're headed for the border.
That's the problem. I don't have anywhere to go, Susan. I gotta stand, and I gotta stay right where I am, and do everything that I was raised to do, and demand that the Constitution mean more than the paper that it's printed on. Gotta stand and fight.
Yes, but past a certain point, you might have to retreat to another area where you can fight and still keep your liberty.
Mi español no es bueno, okay? I can't get along in a non-English speaking country.
There's always Canada, honey.
Too cold. Can't stand it.
Hang in there. Well, there's
I don't know.
Costa Rica.
Yep. I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for Canada to adopt the Turks and Caicos Islands, and then we can start talking. Susan, thank you so much, and have a great night.
You too. Good night, Bob.
Bye. You know, here I am, Mr. Pale, Mr. Gets a Sunburn under a 10-watt light bulb, and I'm worried about going somewhere where it's cold. Oh, no. I want to go somewhere where the sun's rays are particularly nasty, because I haven't had enough sunburns already. You know, sometimes my thought processes aren't what they ought to be. But they are what they ought to be, where something like this New York Times editorial is concerned. Just to flesh it out a little bit for you from what Susan said, the New York Times editorial of Monday, 19 February, points out a provision quietly tucked into the enormous defense budget bill at the Bush administration's behest. At their behest. Hey, guys, at their behest. At their behest means that they, you know, could I have the gravy on the side? That's a behest. Oh, by the way, would you gut a major portion of legislation that keeps us from posting troops in people's homes? That's not a behest. At the behest of the Bush administration that makes it easier for a president to override local control of law enforcement and declare martial law. You know, I see sentences like that, and the New York Times? Is the light going on? You remember back when they were testing the highfalutin new microwave weapon, and I said, and the Air Force or Army general came out and said, well, you know, we need to test it on some American groups first before we go and start roasting brown people with it, because that wouldn't be fair otherwise. Who's going to get roasted? Well, anti-war protesters, or, you know, maybe you're a member of a labor union. You're a little bit pissed off because you've been working without a contract for 6 or 9 months. Maybe test it out on those folks. You know, all along we've been talking about how spooky these people are. You know, and us, you know, lefties, us left wingers. You know, we didn't think it was funny when we saw the videotape of George Bush sitting there saying, "This would all be a lot more pleasant if it was a dictator. It'd be a lot easier if it was a dictatorship, just as long as I was the dictator." And we didn't think it was any more funny than we thought than when Ronald Reagan was caught with the microphone open, going, "I have just declared the Soviet Union to be illegal. The missiles begin flying in 5 minutes." That wasn't funny either. It's not funny. But meanwhile, you know, us disturbed lefties, you know, look at the, oh, they're left wingers. They don't even like war. They're a bunch of sickos. I mean, they're pro-abortion. Yeah, they won't support a war, but they'll support abortion. What kind of weirdos are they? And we're sitting there and we say, look, it's not about left wing or right wing. It's about American freedom, for the love of God. I mean, the freepers out there, the hardcores, the Reverend Donald Wildman of the American Family Association, Dr. Dobson, can they honestly tell me that they would trust any Democrat in America with the power to declare martial law and posse comitatus vitiated? Of course they wouldn't. They just believe that it's going to be some sort of divine miracle that maybe there's nothing divine about it, and they know a little bit more about the voting machines than you and I do. No, we know plenty. Maybe that's why they're calm and complacent and think that, well, you know, our guy will never use that kind of power on us. The newly enacted provisions shift the focus from making sure that federal laws are enforced to restoring public order. Beyond cases of actual insurrection, the president may now use military troops as a domestic police force in response to a natural disaster, a disease outbreak, terrorist attack, or to any other condition. Those other conditions that worry me, they can be a Lulu. Listen, we'll come back and take more of your phone calls. 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4, head on. This is America's liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Immigration scene, shining and feeling clean. Could it be a sin? I got stopped by the immigration man. He said he doesn't know if he can.
This is the Quality News Network. U.S. forces hit a Sunni stronghold in Iraq today. Troops battled insurgents for 6 hours in Ramadi. The U.S. military says at least 12 people were killed. Officials with Iraq say that the death toll is more like 26, and that included women and children. West of Baghdad, raids in two towns turned up a variety of weapons in a so-called car bomb factory. In 5 buildings, troops found propane tanks and chlorine canisters believed to be used to manufacture bombs. And in Iraq, 2 suspects are in custody in connection with the wave of U.S. helicopter crashes. The second-in-command of U.S. forces there says there were similarities in some of the 8 chopper incidents in the past month. And the British Ministry of Defense announced today Britain's Prince Harry will serve a tour of duty in Iraq as a troop commander. Today, the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency released a report saying Iran has not suspended its nuclear program. The UN imposed deadline to stop its uranium enrichment activities was Wednesday. Today is the second day of jury deliberations in the Lewis Scooter Libby trial. The former chief of staff to Vice President Dick Cheney faces perjury and obstruction of justice charges. An upcoming Time magazine profile of independent Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman indicates there is, quote, a remote possibility he may switch over to the Republican side of the aisle. And a national assessment released today finds that high school students' reading skills have not improved, even though they're taking tougher courses and earning better grades. And in California, medical marijuana advocates have filed suit against the federal government in an attempt to authorize the legal use of doctors with a doctor's prescription. Currently, federal law supersedes an existing state law that does permit the medical use of marijuana. And since Hurricane Katrina, the volunteer group Habitat for Humanity says it has helped rebuild 416 homes along the Gulf Coast. Katrina destroyed at least 250,000 homes a year and a half ago. In Costa Rica, a tour group of senior citizens from the U.S. fought off a band of armed muggers who tried to hold up their tour bus. They sent 2 of the assailants fleeing and killed a third, according to police, even though one of the bandits had a gun. You're listening to Quality News Network. More next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
A New Zealand fishing crew has netted what's thought to be the largest squid ever caught. The colossal fish, squid, is an estimated 39 feet long and 990 pounds. It's now headed for the New Zealand National Museum. The Bush administration now says children under the age of 16 won't have to show passports at land and sea entry points to the U.S. The government is exempting them from the new passport requirements set to start in January of 2008. 3 cleaning company executives are accused by federal authorities of keeping almost $19 million in unpaid taxes. How'd they do it? Through the employment of illegal immigrants from Mexico, Honduras, and Guatemala. The companies were subject to a recent sweep by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents. China views internet addiction as a very serious social problem. Addicts are treated with electric shock therapy to cure them. A recent survey found that close to 14% of Chinese teens may become addicted to the internet. And at the close of Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 52 points, the NASDAQ was up 7, and the S&P was down 1. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen. Thanks for listening.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
I love it when this show gets kind of organic and we develop issues as we go. Because after all, that sort of validates our idea of conversation radio here on the Head On Radio Network. Welcome to everybody listening, by the way, via iTunes. We do appreciate it, and we're glad to have you along. Let's go to the phones. Our good friend Peter calls in from somewhere near Tallahassee, Florida. Hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. You know, isn't it funny how the natural news, the news about the giant squid, they found the biggest giant squid. It sort of parallels that we found the biggest natural hypocrite with Haggard, you know? It's funny.
Yeah,
I think these are little God jokes, you know, that God just does this just to, it's his sense of humor, you know?
Yeah, it's that Robert Frost poem, that little tiny short poem that says, "Forgive, O Lord, my little jokes on thee, and I'll forgive thy great big one on me."
Yeah.
But the difference between Haggard and the squid is one of them leaves a slime trail.
Yeah.
And then there's the squid.
yeah. The other one leaves a little trail of crystal crumbs.
And the way they report this thing, Peter, is kind of bothersome too, because the divers reported catching the largest squid, a 939 feet, blah, 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 blah. And what goes unsaid is, and killed it.
Did they kill it?
Yes, of course.
I have joined the 21st century today. You know, after many years of battling, I finally got DSL. I live way out in the woods, and we couldn't get it. And I actually saw the giant squid. Now, this is amazing for me to have actually seen what everybody else has seen. Yes, I saw that. I saw Haggard, too. I saw that, too.
You're going to see all kinds of things now that you've got high-speed internet, Peter. We're so proud for you.
I'm so pleased. But Haggard is no more gay than the man on the moon. You know,
you don't think?
Well, you know the Kinsey report. You remember that? You remember the scale of 0 to 6? And I can't remember which end of the scale was which, but I think it was 0 was exclusively heterosexual, and you know, never once, even when you were a little Boy Scout, you know, fooled around by the campfire, you know, like exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think the definition is reaching orgasm with a member of the same sex is the definition.
Is the air turns pink wherever you walk.
And the other end of the spectrum is exclusively homosexual, and you know, in the same sense that there's, you know, no activity or but the thing is the darn thing is a bell curve, and the bell doesn't go, you know, it isn't like centered right in the middle. It's not like...
No, it's not a number line like in fourth grade.
Right, yeah. The majority of the people are not absolutely in the middle bisexual. The peak of the bell occurs toward the range of heterosexuality. So, but, you know, speaking as someone who's, you know, on the end of the spectrum and being a gay man without a bisexual bone in my body, you know, I got to tell you that, you know, you can take a bisexual man and, you know, regardless of which end of the spectrum, you know, he might fall on, or a bisexual woman for that matter, and convince them and guilt trip them and beat them up so that they will operate in the heterosexual area of their range, and then they call that curing a gay person. It's just the most ridiculous thing I have.
So what would we call this? He got bifurcated?
Well, I guess he got debifurcated, but they will always insist that they cured a gay guy, or that he really wasn't gay, he was straight. But the fact is, the very definition of having sex with men and women is that he is a bisexual, and he will always be bisexual, but sure, he could operate at either end of the spectrum.
See, I always thought bi was just sort of hedging one's bets.
Well, you know, I don't understand bisexuality. I don't get it. I mean, I know it's out there, but I don't get it. And to be quite honest with you, Bob, I don't understand heterosexuality either. But, you know, I mean, you know, whatever. If it makes y'all happy, I'm all for it. It's just that I don't get it. But, you know, this is what's wrong with the fundies. They don't get it, so they, you know, they burn people.
Well, they don't get the, but wait, Peter, you know, they don't get their own sexuality either. I mean, time after time, I'm looking at it right here, honest to Pete. I've had it on the list of stuff since last Friday. Headline: Police, ex-congressman exposes self on beach. Former Republican representative charged with exposure of sex organs. Okay, 75-year-old guy Joseph M. McDade in Sanibel, Florida.
I guess.
Okay, they don't get these fundy freaks don't get their own sexuality because how many news stories does there have to be, Peter, that involve little boys, knot holes, beasts of the field. They don't, and of course remember the big highfalutin Southern Baptist official in Oklahoma City out cruising his Mercedes. I was witnessing.
Yeah.
Remember that one?
Witnessing on his knees. If I heard it right.
Yeah. They really don't. They don't get anything about sexuality because all their lives they've been told that no matter how you do it, it's dirty.
It's dirty, and those are the people who are always so willing to judge everyone else. It's just this whole Haggard thing is just a travesty of terms. I wish to God that people would start bringing the word bisexual into all of this, because I think the majority of the population is somewhat bisexual. You know, maybe a little or a lot.
I don't know. What happened there? I mean, back a couple of decades ago, it was like bi sort of entered the conversation, and then within the last 10 to 15 years, it's nobody talks about bi anymore. You know, there's only two clubs left. You're straight or you're gay.
Yeah, and because of social pressures, people who are bisexual socially operate as being heterosexual. They don't claim the bisexuality in the social settings because of that.
Well, the right wing is forever talking about the gay community and the gay agenda, to the extent that hardcore heterosexuals don't like bisexual people. Does it work the same way on the other side of the street?
I don't think that they dislike gay people. I think they dislike the gay component themselves because it's not acceptable.
But I mean, people who are exclusively gay. Do they look at people who are bi and say, you're not one of us and you're not one of them? Is it sort of like, when Cher was singing about being a half breed?
I just don't get it. It's like calculus. I just don't get it. Whatever. But I don't understand it. I really don't. But how could I possibly understand it? I'm not wired that way.
Right.
There's no possible way for me to. It's like me conceiving the mind of some other an alien creature. I mean, how could I possibly understand?
Yeah, it's like trying to make a Socket 754 motherboard work with an AM2.
Yeah, a lot like that.
I'm learning. I'm getting all kinds of new vocabulary out there.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, I'll be talking about overclocking.
But the other before we go into overclocking, I promised myself I wasn't going to wear my pocket protector tonight. I'm wearing my born again gay Christian outfit tonight. But what the Haggard thing, that was about what I really wanted to talk about was this Bush Library at Southern Methodist University. You know, this is a pet subject of mine. Well, this has come up again in the news, and now the people that are upset at Southern Methodist University are the students and faculty of the Natural and Physical Sciences Department. They are very upset, and who's on board with them is the Union of Concerned Scientists, who, they consist of, Nobel laureates and all these distinguished scientists.
People who are really committed to the idea that 2 plus 2 equals 4.
Right, exactly. And this Bush, and this School of Physical Sciences and Natural History at Southern Methodist University does not teach intelligent design, and it teaches real science, evolution, and and the age of the earth for real and all that. And so they're very upset about having the Bush Library come there because it will completely destroy the credibility of the science department. I mean, let's look at it. The Bush Library is not going to have any books because, you know. All right. And it's not going to have any papers. He has he's classified those in perpetuity. Is that the word?
Well, it might have some papers. You know, there might be a few left over from Laura's days, because she's the SMU alum. You know, back when she was at SMU, they called her Dimebag Bora.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So she may still have some papers.
Yeah. So what is it going to be? It's going to basically be a propaganda. Will you walk in there and there'll be, you know, pro-Bush propaganda about how good he was and wonderful he was, and the rest of it will be that horrific think tank. And if you think for a minute a right-wing think tank that's based with Bush is not going to try to screw with the educational facility at SMU with billions of dollars involved, to try to convince them they need to not teach evolution and this, that, and the other. You know, these people have another thing coming. Yes, they are very upset. And you know, look at the history of you know, the Bush administration against science. They place people who are unqualified and have, you know, clear conflicts of interest in official posts that oversee science, you know what I'm saying? And they disband advisory committees and they censor and suppress reports from scientists that contradict in any way, you know, what the political line is, like the global warming they've been sweeping under the carpet for years. You know, yeah, and so this is just another twist in another group that's starting to get more vocal. I just thought that was real important. Oh, yeah, not to mention all the homeowners in the area are upset because they think that the university is going to be a target. I mean, like a terrorist target. You know, and I don't blame them.
At what point does SMU just say, listen, there's an old hog-killing facility outside of Dallas.
Well, yeah.
Bush Library Project.
Why
it's
not
yours.
Put them. Bush needs to have his library at one of these mega churches with, you know, a homosexual pastor that hadn't been outed yet. And you know... He would fit right in because it's the non-reality, you know, group of people.
Yeah, and I mean, a little bit ago, you called it a think tank that's going to be there. You know, we are so guilty of letting others, you know, like George Lakoff says, frame stuff up for us. This is not going to be a think tank. It's going to be a not think tank.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because you're not going to, if you get endowed, and you know, God knows with this administration, endowed means something entirely different.
Yeah,
Jeff Gannon being Jeff Gannon, if you get endowed by the Bush Presidential Library, it means that you are expressly forbidden from thinking about the deleterious, the disastrous policies of this administration over the course of what will by then have been 8 long, tortured, miserable years.
Absolutely. And in the case of the go ahead.
No, please.
Well, what I was going to say is in the case of the other presidential libraries, they have basically turned those over to whatever university is kind of a gift, you know, for it to be completely administered and run by the university and becomes part of the university. But the Bush Library, I mean, the part that has the 3 paperback books and some of Laura's, you know, dope rolling papers, that will be under the control of the university. But the think tank, the big part of it with all the great conservative minds being a part of it, that is to be completely separate from the university. Housed there, yes, but in no way under any control of the university. That remains in the hands of the Bushy. So, you know, here you've got, you know, who's moving in? You got a bunch of right-wing wackos who represent...
Oh, there goes the neighborhood.
Yeah, who represent everything the Methodist Church hates, on paper anyway. And
does the Methodist Church still... I mean, do they administer active control over the university?
Well, yes, it's wholly owned by the Methodist Church. Southern Methodist University is wholly owned by the Methodist Church. And I assume you mean more active control about the classes and stuff, but... But I it's progressive.
Well, I mean, no, is there a board of Methodist bishops who hires the university president and would make a decision like this or could have veto power over it?
Those people, like on whatever board or what that is, they're all for it because of the money, Bob. I'm just crushed. I can't believe it. It is such a, you know, it, It goes against.
Well, I looked at that. I looked at that online petition that's circulating, and what, it's got 100,000 or so signatures by now.
It's growing.
About every other one says, you know, I'm a Methodist from so and so, and I, you know, I can't believe the Methodist Church would have anything to do with this. And the Methodist Church condemned the war against Iraq. It openly said that it was not what Jesus would do. Hence, how can this even be under consideration?
Well, this is absolutely true. I'm highly embarrassed by it. And Bob, I've done some thinking about it. And what I have decided to do, you know, this is a small community out here, and the church is really that, you know, for me, it's not like there's, you know, there's skating rinks and, you know, all this stuff going on here. There's the church, and it's kind of a social, that's the way small towns are. It's kind of a social center, too. And, you know, I'm not going to stop going to the church if the Bush Library, if they do take the Bush Library. But what I am going to do, and this is official, I've thought this through, I'm going to remove my name as a member of the Methodist Church. There is no way I can possibly participate in an organization that actually adopted the Bush Library on one of its campuses or as part of the organization. How could I do that? How could I do that? I can't. So I'm going to suspend it. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a member to go to church. I mean, lots of people go to churches and they're not members. But, you know, I'm going to have to, on paper anyway, no longer be a Methodist. I can't do that. That's one.
Well, I mean, have you, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about the fact that you had openly sort of said how you felt about the Bush administration there to your pastor. Have y'all talked at all in the congregation about this?
No, these are taboo subjects in churches, and they shouldn't be.
Wait! Stop. Time. Talking about whether a Methodist university would sponsor.
No, this subject has not come up either because it's politically charged. You see, in the church, you've got families who have. We have a family there that just one of their sons just enlisted in the National Guard, which basically means he's in training now, which basically means he's going to be shipped out as, you know, fresh meat any minute. You've got, you know, people there who have friends and co-workers who are in the war, and you've got a lot of people there who are Bush voters. And, you know, it's, I think a lot of those people are, you know, very disappointed that they have done that and that they have, you know, voted for Bush and supported this. There's a lot of changing of hearts going on, but nonetheless, there's that pride factor. It's like a family, Bob. It's like a family where just some things are not discussed. Like you have an alcoholic in the family, but you just don't talk about it, and to the rest of the community, you act like everything's normal, but in reality, your house is falling apart. That's what's going on in Methodist Church.
Yeah, Uncle Ted's nose is red like that because he's got high blood pressure.
Yeah. It's really kind of sick. It's hard for me because I'm immersed in it. I do what we do, and I follow along with all as best I can. But it's kind of sick. But
Well, it is, and I mean, I'm just like I said, I've followed this story some, and I've seen some right wing backlash on it as well.
For real?
Oh yeah, suggesting that this is not a suitable topic for academics to be discussing. That they need to go and shut up and teach their courses and let the leadership of the university do what it's paid to do.
And there was something I think I've seen, and there was one out the other day about it being a double standard that, you know, for us to be talking about this. Yet, you know, there are presidential libraries everywhere, and you know, just stuff.
Well, they are, and I personally find presidential libraries, for the most part, embarrassing.
Well, I do too.
LBJ kind of got the ball rolling on that in many ways, but he started it. He turned it over to the university.
And I think, well, that's what, as it should be. And the Bush people are not, though. They're going to turn the three books and the color crayons over, but they're not turning over the think tank, which is the hugest part of it. A major conservative think tank, whatever that means, which really means.
Well, if they want a major conservative think tank, God knows they've raised, what, $500-600 million from their Arab pals?
No doubt. Like that.
Go let it be a standalone. Why does it have to. I mean. Go ask Yale. They gave him the degree. Go ask Harvard. They gave him the MBA.
You know, they're probably giving the boot swifter than anybody else, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he has, and see, that's the funny thing here. He has utterly, I mean, this is a private university run by the Methodist Church. He has absolutely no connection whatsoever with SMU. Never, well, I don't know, maybe he got loaded at a kegger there one night.
Probably so. Started as an Episcopal, and then I think went to, was it the Baptist, and now he's a Methodist. He doesn't know what.
Well,
in fact, I read he doesn't attend church regularly at all. In the Methodist Church?
No.
Right.
You know, go hustle this library to maybe Baylor.
Yeah.
You know, remember when Tom DeLay got all upset because he found out his daughter was dancing while she was going to Baylor and declared it a denizen of sin?
You know, that's so funny, the whole bit about dancing. You know, we used to say that Methodists were Baptists who were allowed to dance, and really that's pretty much it. You know, everything else is a lot along the same line. But the Methodist Church is so freaking split. You go to the West Coast, and boy, those churches over there, they're, you know, what do they call it, truth and justice churches, and, you know, they talk like we do about the war, and it's all out front, but you come over to the South, and the Methodist Church starts looking a whole lot like the Baptist Church. Really does.
It makes no sense to me that that university would be associated with that library in any way, and I guess maybe it sounds a little petty on my part that I would even question. You know, they got the money, build the thing, but no, it's at some point in time, not some point in time. I think we've got a duty to speak up and speak out at every turn at this point, Peter. How much stuff did the people of the United States let slide? Oh, well, and it was all under the rubric of, oh, well, that's just George.
Right. It's not cute anymore. It's not funny. The ape is starting to defecate in the room. He was a cute monkey. But we've got doo-doo sacks all over the place at this point.
No. Now he's gotten to the point where he's throwing it.
Yeah, he's throwing it badly. Yeah, and he's hiring people like Tony Snow to catch it and spray it with Chanel.
Oh, but the Chanel smell doesn't last long.
No, it doesn't last.
Bless her heart, and bless her heart, Helen Thomas knew that, called him on, and she lost her seat.
I love that woman. I love that woman.
46 years, the woman has occupied the same seat in the White House press room. They hustled everybody out to remodel it, and now she's been thrown out of her chair. Her chair had her name on it, front row center.
Boy, there's nothing.
And they've moved her.
Nothing like an old Arab to really tick them off, is it? That's what they called her, you know. They called her the old Arab.
Yeah, Ann Coulter, that hateful old Arab.
Was that Ann that did that?
Yeah.
I see, yeah.
Jesus.
Now, that's a man if I ever saw one. I swear to God, that is a drag queen. When she dies, I truly want her to go to some science museum. I want to know what's under that dress. I mean, can I?
Oh, now you're gonna. This show goes out all over the world, and you're putting people off their breakfast and their dinner and everything else talking that stuff.
I know, but just out of morbid curiosity, I would like to know. Oh man, what a sick woman that is.
But Peter, thank you so much.
I wanted to go on about Haggard and these Methodists really have me ticked off. Very idea. And I will see you guys later. I love you both.
Oh, love you more.
Okay.
And you've been in chat the whole time. This is so cool with you having your highfalutin new DSL.
I'm highfalutin. I'm like a regular normal person now. I could. You know, I sent an email.
You could listen to the program at 48K?
Yes, and I'm so trained, I sent an email. It was a large attachment, and I sat there and waited while it went, and then it took me a few minutes to realize, I don't have to wait. I mean, I could do other things. There's plenty of bandwidth, you know.
It's already gone.
Yeah. Lord have mercy. Yeah, I got some getting used to. I mean, I do it at the office, but at home, I'm totally wired to do it.
You know, there's this website. It's called YouTube.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of movies on it.
I actually went there. I did watch a video today. It was a disco video,
Right, but you've got to go and watch that video that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago with the Reverend Donnie Davis.
Uh huh.
Remember, I think I even sent you the link.
Yeah.
The Bible Says video.
Okay.
You're going to laugh so hard. It's I don't know if the thing is still. I think the controversy kind of died down when they figured out it was a fraud. But lovegodsway.org.
Donnie Davis. Yes, I'll run that. I'll run a search on it tonight. Thank you.
You must. Yeah. Just lovegodsway.org. You will laugh until you stop.
Will do.
All right. Thank you, Peter.
Yes, sir. Take care. Bye.
You too. Bye. And we will come back with more of your phone calls. If you're on hold, please bear with us for just a couple of minutes. We've got to take a quick break. The phone number, of course, you already know, 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. Bob at headonradio.com is the email address. This is America's liberal voice. This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
One plus one is two. Eat ice cream too fast and you'll get a brain freeze. Always talk quietly in the library.
If you're going to be 2 hours late, pick up the phone and call!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I, thank you.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost. Everybody knows the fight is fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows.
All right, 25 minutes and change before the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Let's see. I mentioned a little bit ago that I wanted to share with you a little something from Matt Tabibi, who is a writer for Rolling Stone. It's over at Alternet, by the way. Maybe We Deserve to Be Ripped Off by Bush's Billionaires is the title of the piece. And what he says is, well, he starts with some commentary about Britney Spears. But it's further down in the piece when you find when he gets to what is really the crux of his argument. And he writes, on the same day that Britney was shaving her head, a guy I know who works in the office of Senator Bernie Sanders sent me an email. He was trying very hard to get news organizations interested in some research his office had done about George Bush's proposed 2008 budget. And remember, this does sort of tie back or relate to back to, in a way, that UNICEF study that was announced last week. You know, the U.S. and Great Britain score rock bottom on just about all child welfare metrics. He says about George Bush's proposed 2008 budget, which was unveiled 2 weeks ago and received relatively little press, no press, mainly because of the controversy over the Iraq War resolution. He goes on and he says, the Bush budget is an amazing document. It would be hard to imagine a document that more clearly articulates the priorities of our current political elite. He says, not only does it make many of Bush's tax cuts permanent, but it envisions a complete repeal of the estate tax, or what the hateful right-wingers like to refer to as the death tax. And, of course, he notes that it affects, the estate tax affects only the top two-tenths, man, this is like painful math, the top two-tenths of the top 1% of the richest people in the United States. The proposed savings, he writes, from the cuts over the next decade are about $442 billion, or just slightly less than the amount of the annual defense budget minus Iraq war expenses. Those budget cuts, you know, so you've got budget cuts and you've got an elimination of the estate tax. You know, the one that the estate tax basically presupposes that this really is a country where if you work hard you can get ahead, and that we don't like the idea of hereditary emoluments, if you will. But what Matt Tabibi does is he puts it in very concrete terms. And here's how it works out. If the estate tax goes, the heirs to the Mars Candy Corporation, some of the world's evilest scumbags, he writes, and they're evil scumbags because they're routinely busted for trafficking in child labor to work cocoa farms in places like Côte d'Ivoire. He says they'll get about an $11.7 billion tax break. Now, that tax break, he notes, based on this evidence that's come out of Bernie Sanders' office, that tax break is roughly three times the amount that the Bush administration wants to cut out of the VA budget. Are you beginning to shiver like a dog trying to get rid of a peach pit yet? more than three times the amount that George Bush wants to cut from the VA budget, $3.4 billion, will be the tax break to one group of heirs over the same time period. The Walmart heirs, their tax cut will be $32.7 billion, billion with a B, dollars. Meanwhile, the Bush administration is cutting $28 billion from Medicaid. I hammer and I talk and I blather on about perspective. This is perspective in the flesh. Some of the other estimates coming out of Bernie Sanders' office, the Cox cable TV empire, the Cox family, they'll get a $9.7 billion tax break. The Department of Education, meanwhile, in the Bush budget, is getting a $1.5 billion slash. The Nordstrom family, Nordstrom department stores, their tax break from having the estate tax eliminated will be $826.5 million. Just millions. Sad. $826.5 million tax break. At the same time, the Community Services Block Grant gets cut $630 million to zero. Community Services Block Grants just ceases to exist. Then there's the Gallo family.
We will sell no wine before it's time. We will pay no tax before it's cut.
The Gallo family gets a $468.4 million tax cut, while the low-income heating energy assistance program, LIHEAP, L-I-H-E-A-P, gets cut by $420 million. The family of former ExxonMobil CEO Lee Raymond, who got a $400 million retirement package, gets $164 million in tax breaks. Screaming yet? Telling the kid to bring you the Elvis gun? Because you're ready to shoot the radio speakers on the computer? But we're not done. No, no, damn it, no, we're not done. Because we haven't talked yet about the commodity supplemental food program. Jot that one down. Remember it. Sounds a little sort of gobbledygookish, but it isn't. The Commodity Supplemental Food Program. Over 10 years, will provide a cut to the budget of $108 million. That $108 million over 10 years provided one bag of groceries per month to 500,000 seniors, mamas, and newborn babies. The commodity supplemental food program in the Bush budget is eliminated. One stinking bag of groceries. And these unmitigated monsters. What do you want me to think of these people in terms of being human when they can't even find their way to provide one bag of groceries for an old lady? God God bless America. God forgive America. Medicaid cut by $28 billion to give $32.7 billion in tax cuts to the Walmart heirs. The commodity supplemental food program, you know, that's you know, in the containers with the peanut butter and the cheese and, you know, maybe flours, rice, beans, you know, staples. And bear in mind that, you know, that's not a charity program, because the whole thing was originally designed to prop up America's farmers and buy their excess produce from them. One bag of groceries a month to a half a million seniors, mamas, and newborns. And somewhere in the executive office complex, because, you know, yes, I'm imagineering or extending my ability to look into the corners of government. Somewhere in the executive office complex, there's a dudette who's making, you know, probably $75,000-$80,000 a year and lives out in the burbs and has a two or three hour commute into work and a 2 or 3 hour commute home from work every day in Washington traffic. And they're sitting there and they're going over stuff line by line by line, and they get down to the commodity supplemental food program, and they just kind of scratch behind, you know, scratch their head with the little, you know, back end of the pen and screw Granny. She don't need the cheese. This bothers me, because this is a barometer of a people gone bad. This is a barometer of a nation that has truly, honest to God, lost its way. Eliminating the commodity supplemental food program, it ought to be doubled. Crippled. Do news stories, I don't know, people in the international audience, tell me, do news stories like this, does information like this get around the world? What do the other so-called civilized nations think of a group of about 300 million people who think they're the best people on earth? What do other nations think of us when they find out that we've cut out a bag of groceries a month for little old ladies? I mean, I know how the I know what the libertarian take on it. Ah, screw them. If they can't afford to eat, they can't afford to live. Rawr! I know what the right wing take on it. And of course, you know, the right wing religion, well, we'll bring them a bag of groceries as long as they'll pray with us and come to church. It makes me hurt. Abraham Lincoln in the Gettysburg Address made a reference to and whether that nation or any nation so constituted can long endure. Well, I think it's sort of fair that we ask his question again. Can any nation that reaches a level of brute cruelty, or perhaps worse, brute disinterest in its poorest and its most vulnerable, long endure as a nation? What kind of a heritage, what kind of an inheritance can we expect if we tolerate a government that cuts a billion, that gives tax cuts to billionaires in the amounts of $32 billion and can't find the way clear? To take care of its veterans and it's little old ladies, and it's little old men, and it's little bitty babies in the cradle. What's to come of us? A $28 billion cut in Medicaid? When what Medicaid needs is a $56 billion infusion? An $11.7 billion tax break for a candy family? So that $3.4 billion has to be cut out of the money that's not enough already? That's used for our veterans? Community service block grants. Something that folks who have been associated with government can explain has been vital to municipalities over the course of years. It just goes away, leaving individual communities to shift for themselves and maybe raise taxes on their rich folks maybe closer to home. No, we can't do that. The politicians would never get elected. Can't tax the rich. But, you know, this is just the tip of the Bush administration iceberg. And we will find out more and more. Well, maybe we will. Looks like at least Bernie Sanders' office is up and working. Dear God. There will be more of this and more of this and more of this. And every time it'll be a story of the fact that once again, blessed are the poor, blessed are the rich, baby. Blessed are the rich. For they need not look at the poor. Where does a country go that starts down a path like this? Path that we have been treading for the last 7 years. 6.5, whatever. Where does a nation wind up? What becomes of us? And, you know, a fair question, what becomes of the rich? Because you know what? They need us a lot more than we need them. And by that, I mean the rich have to have people to do things for them. We're used to doing for ourselves. This is so short-sighted, so ignorant, so stupid. Do you reckon your elected representative knows about these cuts, has paid any attention to them? Do you reckon they will? Do you reckon maybe you've got a job as an individual sovereign within this country to let them know what's going on? I can't help but think we do. Let's go to the phones and welcome Susan back to the program. Hey, Susan.
Hi, Bob. Just got a brief little goodie.
Okay.
And Agent Fred, this is just a bit of historical perspective. All those Bean Counters busily chopping programs for people, I bring up two dates for them to consider. 1789 and 1917. Pay attention, dudes. History repeats itself.
Yeah, let's see. That would be the French Revolution and the Russian Revolution.
You got it. And I got news for those people. The people who didn't pay attention and went into the meat grinder.
Well, yeah, and in the long run, the sad thing, Susan, is so did a lot of poor people.
Yeah, so did a lot of poor people, but a society will take only so much before it snaps. And in that case, it's generally violently.
Well, I look to the future, and I look to the, what kind of future we're facing, largely because I get to imagine that future through eyes that right now are 10 years old, 11 years old, 13 years old, 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this isn't my future. This isn't your future that we're talking about. It's theirs.
It's the kids' future. And it's not pretty. The thing that gives me hope is we came this close once before, and we turned our back on it. And the reason we did was because a very, very rich man, who was not only very smart, but he was also not only besides being altruistic, but he was also a clear-eyed realist. He realized, hey, if we end up with a revolution, my money, my personal fortune is going to go down the tubes. His name was FDR.
And he was called a traitor to his class.
And no, actually, he was the savior of his class.
Well, certainly. Without a doubt.
Because if he hadn't done what he'd done, there would have been a violent revolution. And the people, the rich people at that time, would have gone the same way the people did in the French Revolution.
Well, it amazes me that there are people out, I mean, you know, those bean counters somewhere in the executive office building, or these people, or, you know, maybe it's being done on K Street, maybe it's being done by some lobbying firm, because that was the paradigm that was set up by the Republican Congress. Let the lobbyists write the laws. But I can't imagine an entire cadre or brigade or platoon or whatever of a bunch of bean counting jerks who say things like, oh, yeah, who believe this right wing crap, but they're there, Susan, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And they say things like, you know, the free market will take care of all of this.
And they obviously...
Government has no business in this.
Yeah, they've obviously never talked to somebody who went through the Depression.
No, those people are dead now. Mostly, those people are gone.
Yeah, they need to talk to the few survivors.
Well, I've said it time and again, Susan, that the Republican Party tries this kind of evil stuff about once every generation when they think the last generation that they screwed is finally out of the way.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And they need to know. Madame Guillotine never, ever, ever sleeps.
Oh, Agent Fred's just going to love you.
Well, that's a fact of historical perspective.
Well, that's the problem with historical perspective.
It repeats unless you pay attention.
Exactly. Yeah, we can learn from it, or we can ignore it, and we ignore it at our peril. Susan,
yep.
Thank you very kindly.
You're more than welcome. You have a nice night.
Gonna try.
Bye.
Bye now. All right, it's time for the news. Maybe they've killed another squid. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. U.S. troops battled insurgents for 6 hours today at a Sunni stronghold in Ramadi, Iraq. The U.S. military says at least 12 people were killed. Iraqi officials say the death toll is actually 26 and that women and children were among the dead. West of Baghdad, raids in two towns turned up a variety of weapons in a so-called car bomb factory. In 5 buildings, troops found propane tanks and chlorine canisters believed to be used to manufacture bombs. 2 suspects are in custody in Iraq in connection with a wave of U.S. helicopter crashes. The second-in-command of U.S. forces there says there were similarities in some of the 8 chopper incidents that have happened in the past month. And the British Prime Minister of Defense announced today Britain's Prince Harry will serve a tour of duty in Iraq as a troop commander. Today, the UN Nuclear Watchdog Agency released a report saying Iran has not suspended its nuclear program. The UN-imposed deadline to stop its uranium enrichment activities was Wednesday. In Sydney today, anti-war demonstrators jeered and waved signs at Vice President Dick Cheney during his visit. A recent poll in a major Australian newspaper found that 67% of Australians want their government to set a withdrawal date for the troops. And in Fort Campbell, a U.S. sergeant was sentenced to life in prison for his part in the March rape and murder of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and the killing of her family. An upcoming Time magazine profile for independent Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman indicates there is, quote, a remote possibility he may switch over to the Republican side of the aisle. A national assessment released today finds that high school students' reading skills have not improved, even though they're taking tougher courses and earning better grades. The assessment says grade inflation may be the explanation. In California, medical marijuana advocates have filed suit against the federal government to authorize the legal use of the drug by prescription. Currently, federal law prohibits such use, even though an existing state law permits it. Since Hurricane Katrina, the volunteer group Habitat for Humanity says it's helped rebuild some 416 homes along the Gulf Coast. Katrina destroyed at least 250,000 a year and a half ago. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up next.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
A federal jury says Microsoft will have to pay $1.52 billion in damages for patent infringement. Alcatel-Lucent took the software giant to court, saying it infringed on audio patents used for playing computer music files. The Bush administration now says children under the age of 16 won't have to show passports at land and sea entry points to the U.S. The government is exempting them from the new passport requirements set to start next year. Federal authorities say 3 cleaning company executives kept almost $19 million in unpaid taxes by hiring undocumented immigrants. The 3 were indicted today. And China views internet addiction as a serious social problem. Addicts are treated with electric shock treatment, and they hope that will cure them. The recent survey found that close to 14% of Chinese teens may become addicted to the internet. And the Labor Department reports the number of unemployed workers who applied for jobless benefits last week fell by 27,000. Today, at the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 52 points at 12,686. The NASDAQ was up 7 points at 2524. The S&P was down 1 point at 1456. There's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, I guess I will beat the dead horse just a little bit because I can't get this out of my head. We know what $28 billion in Medicaid would do. Or we've at least got a pretty good idea. You know, that's... what? That's... all the routine, daily stuff that you need at the doctor's office and in the hospital to keep you alive. You know, I suppose in well, you know, that's bypass surgeries and appendectomies and gallbladder and all kinds of, you know, fixing ulcers and, you know, medicine. On the other hand, if you are the Walmart heirs, if you are Sam Walton's heirs, and this is not me being some sort of socialist or commie or anything, but this is just a real world question. What do you do with $32.7 billion? Now, I guess there's no, I can't imagine that there's anybody out there that is more fond of creature comforts and is has been raised to be a better consumer than what I am and have been. And if I started making my list of, you know, exactly what it, you know, and you all do it, we do it, everybody does it, it's the win the lottery list. It's the, you know, hey, what would I do if I won the lottery? And once you get past the home in the country with the river of beer flowing over your grandmother's paisley shawl part and the car you've always wanted, if you're like me, you're pretty well done. And of course, my priorities have changed over the years. That's part of being human, I guess. But I think in terms of making sure that there's enough money, there would be enough money to let my kids go anywhere that they were smart enough to go college-wise. Smart enough? Wait a minute. If you've got enough money, you don't even have to be smart. That's how George Bush got into Yale. But really, once you get past all of that, you know, maybe you're at the $10 million mark. Okay, you want a really big house. You're at 20. You want a fleet of cars bigger than Jay Leno's. You're at 25. The tax break that the Walmart heirs would get out of an elimination of the estate tax is $32.7 billion. What do you do with it? What do you need with it? I like oysters, but I don't want to own the Chesapeake Bay. Does this ring with you at all? I've noticed that my greed factor has gone down over the years. Maybe it's because as a function of growing up and getting a little bit older, maybe, just maybe, there's that word again, you get a little perspective on things. $32.7 billion. Wow, I'd start a charity. Okay, what are you going to do with the other $31.7 billion. Billions! Damn it! Billions! Community block grants? You know,
I will never, ever, ever see the good that is done by community block grants in communities all over the United States, but I don't have to see it to know that it's valuable. And maybe that's the difference between me and conservatives and me and Republicans. They have to own it to appreciate it. I don't. I know that all over the United States of America there are crumbling small towns where the mall out on the edge of the city limits has destroyed the little downtown shopping area around the courthouse square. I know that they exist, and I know that those sorts of small town Americas are that's the stuff that our national mythos is made out of. And at the same time that the Republican Party and right wingers and libertarians and stuff like to talk about the, you know, how that's the heart and soul of where we come from, they actively work to destroy it. Will the Sam Walton heirs volunteer enough money via their foundations to do what all the community block grants were doing? Hell no! Of course not! Now, they might throw a little sop here and a little sop there, but it's not enough to fix an ailing national infrastructure. Because they got to the point where they can have things like $32.7 billion tax breaks by not getting rid of their money. At what point in time are we allowed to call on the Sam Walton heirs and the Mars Candy heirs and the Cox TV heirs and the Nordstrom heirs? At what point in time are we allowed to call on these heirs and ask them to actually stand up and be counted as Americans? Now, I'm sure there are some who might differ with me, but I tell you what, hustling Washington, D.C. for a $32.7 billion tax break is not American. It is anti-American. Because there is nothing that you could buy with that $32.7 billion or do with that $32.7 billion that is more important than the business of what we need as a people in this country. Now, I'm sure the free marketeers would say that it's none of my damn business what they do with their $32.7 billion. And perhaps that is true. But it is my business because I am a citizen. It is my business what happens to my country when its well-being is sacrificed for the well-being of less than 0.2% of the richest 1% of this country. That damned well is my business. And our friend Susan's right. It's countries that get to this point that wind up with people saying, let them eat cake. And who wind up with Robespierre's and Lenin's and Trotsky's. Let the right wing howl all they want that I'm some sort of a lefty. They are birthing problem. Not me, not you, not us. At least that's how I see it. At least I see that a country that is more concerned with 0.2% of its population than it is with the other 99.8% of its country, its people, is a nation on the road to ruin.
Oh, but Jesus, Bob, yeah, look, the Dow keeps going up.
And look, it's not bad. That's for the top 1%. You know, it seems so ironic now to look back, far, far back to those days when a younger George H.W. Bush looked at Ronald Reagan and said that trickle-down economics was voodoo economics. And then to see that self-same Bush's son out there practicing a brand of voodoo that would make Ronald Reagan blush. Wow. Matt Tabibi in his column notes all of this information that came out of Bernie Sanders' office. But he brings it back around to the media and the fact that this stuff is not covered. These budget issues are not covered. In the conversation I had with our friend Jim early in this program, I said, you know, I really do miss seeing some real, live, honest-to-God journalism being practiced in the news. Because it is not easy to report on something that most people perceive to be as dry and dull and boring as a budget. But by the same token, it was Reverend Jim Wallace who said budgets are moral documents. Or perhaps in the case of this budget, immoral or amoral documents. It is hard to report on this kind of stuff, and only people who are really, really committed to the idea of being the Fourth Estate, of being a bulwark against government excess and government wrongdoing, those are the only people who can do that. And right now, we are in sadly short supply of them. Wolf Blitzer, Larry King, Paula Zahn, all the freaks at Fox prattling on about speculating on the state of decomposition of not even a B actress's corpse. Just a professional famous person. And this is what's going on that they are neglecting and ignoring. At the end of it all, Matt Tabibi writes, here's the thing about the system of news coverage we have today. If the Walton family or Lee Raymond or the heirs to the Mars fortune actually needed the news media to work better than it does now, believe me, it would work better. But they have no such need because the system is working just fine for them as is. The people it's failing are the rest of us, and most of the rest of us apparently would rather sniff Anna Nicole Smith's corpse or watch Britney Spears hump a fire hydrant than find out what our tax dollars are actually paying for. When you think about it that way, why not steal from us, he says. People that dumb don't deserve to have money. You gotta give the guy his due. He's got a point. Let's take a break. Coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. The phone number is 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on. I'm Bob Kincaid. Even make some hope with some.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop. Right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
I never thought my daughter and I would ever think the same thing is cool.
At home, my boys are like a wrecking ball. But when they volunteer, they're actually shaping things up.
Hey, they planted trees at the local park. Clean the place up.
She makes new friends. She has a great time.
My son loves it. He's contributing.
These are nice kids.
The Are You Into It volunteer program is a great way for you and your kids to make a difference in the community while making friends. So, if you're into it, or you think your kid might be, call 4-H toll-free at 1-888-77-YOUTH. Or visit our website at www.areyouintoit.com.
We can't get him to clean his room, but he loves volunteering.
A public service message brought to you by 4-H, the Cooperative Extension System, and the Ad Council.
Thursday evening, Thursday afternoon, Thursday. Heavens to Betsy, it may be Friday where you are. Anyway, you slice it, though. This is Head On, and I'm Bob Kincaid. And part and parcel of Matt Tabibi's article that we were over at Alternet that we were just discussing is his assertion that part of the reason the budget number issues that didn't get much coverage in the past couple of weeks has to do with the war resolutions that were making their way through Congress. And, of course, those were phony war resolutions, weren't they? Because they didn't have anything to them. Another one out there writing great stuff, David Sirota, noted that according to a CNN poll, that a strong majority of Americans now want Congress to cut off funding for the Iraq escalation. And he's got a quote from CNN anchor John Roberts from yesterday morning asking, "Is Congress willing to cut off funding in order to end the war in Iraq?" The latest CNN Opinion Research Corporation poll shows 60% of Americans want Congress to block money from going to war President Bush's planned troop increase, the 21,500 troops, new troops for Iraq, 38% are against this the resolution, or at least believe that Congress should vote against the resolution. And David Sirota's conclusion, he says, so now we know that the strong majority of Americans want the U.S. Congress to use its real power, not non-binding charades, to stop the escalation of the war in Iraq. And that's a charade? That's mighty gentle language as far as I'm concerned. He notes that there are state legislatures moving forward demanding that Congress use its real power. And he asks, why is Congress refusing to even debate binding legislation? And, of course, a conversation we had a couple of nights ago, the answer to that is one word, a short word, a four-letter word, perhaps the dirtiest four-letter word in all of the English language. Fear. Fear. My party, your party, our party, the Democratic Party, has power in Congress again for the first time in 12 years. And now it is afraid to use that power to stop something that is unmitigatedly wrong and unmitigatedly evil. Now, I ran over just two or three of the things. $28 billion budget cut to Medicaid. $3.4 billion budget cut to the VA, for God's sakes. And every last one of these cuts, beyond the estate tax issues, every last one of these cuts flies home to roost at a filthy little buzzard's nest called the Iraq War. Why is the commodity supplemental food program going to end? Not being cut, not being reduced, not being just made a little smaller. Why is it being ended? Because we started a war with a country that didn't do anything to us. Why are community block grants going away for good? Because a man stood up and said, you know, he tried to kill my daddy. And he said things like, F Iraq. And what did we learn a couple of nights ago? He said that he would screw Osama bin Laden in the butt. Don't blame me. He said that to Ariel Sharon. George Bush did. Every last one of these things that we find so sickening and so deplorable finds its hellish home in the house of cards that is the war in Iraq. Why do we tolerate it? Why do we put up with it? Why are our elected representatives, whom we gave power expressly for the purposes of ending this war, not doing what they were told? Why can they not see that if they hope to have a Democrat in the White House after November 2008, why do they not see that that presidency will be forever tarnished, handcuffed, and hogtied by the existence of a war that the current chief executive has said he will make sure does not end on his watch? The dirtiest word in the English language. Fear. Crippling, bowel-watering fear. And of what? Fear of being called names? There are young men and women in Iraq who are being horrifically maimed, killed, because of political fear, because someone is afraid of being called soft on this, or soft on that, or not sufficiently warlike. The debate on the escalation of the war has been colored in terms of, well, you know, if we don't continue funding the war, well, they'll be over there. Our troops, we've got to support troops. Troops will be over there, and they won't have any bullets, and they'll be driving up and down the streets, and they won't have any gas in their striker vehicles, and no bullets, and their guns will be taken out, and no, they won't. If we defund the escalation can't happen. If we defund the war can't happen. It's not like our military personnel will be put at risk. They will not be put at risk. They will be brought home where they are not at risk. And yet the debate continues. Whether to escalate or keep our troop levels the same. And this Congress that I so achingly wanted to see take power, operates from the bastion of the filthiest word in the English language. Fear! Not exactly negotiating from a position of strength, is it? We'll take our bottom of the hour break now. Only 20 minutes or so to get your last thoughts in for this evening if you want to. 877-443-2366 is the number. 877, the numeral 4, head on.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If
You have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically. Before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
There's so many things I like about you. I just don't know where to begin. Okay, well, I like the way you look at me with those beautiful eyes. I like the way you act all surprised. I like the way you sing along. I like the way you always get it wrong. I like the way you clap your hands. I like the way you love to dance. I like the way you put your hands up in the air. I like the way you shake your head. I like the way you like to touch.
All right, 21 minutes before the hour. Downhill to the end of the program. I'm Bob Kincaid, and, you know, one of these days, when we're all staffed up and everybody's just doing one thing instead of nine dozen, we'll have somebody whose job is to, I don't know, maybe someday we'll have somebody who will do what they did with Flush Flimball's first book and just, you know, create it out of monologues. Because it, oh God, it was eons ago now that in talking about the war with Iraq, I said, "Watch him. You just watch him. At some point, we'll hear the same old crap we got at the end of Vietnam." Actually, not even anywhere near the end of Vietnam. August 7th, 1968, and I pledge to you tonight that the first priority foreign policy objective of our next administration will be to bring an honorable end to the war in Vietnam. We shall not stop there. We need a policy to prevent more Vietnams. And Nixon prattling on about peace with honor. You remember, hell, I was a kid and I remember peace with honor. Well, you know, old shot a guy in the face, Cheney, is off touring Asia and Australia. And it was just earlier this week that he said, "And I want you to know that the American people will not support a policy of retreat. We want to complete the mission. We want to get it done right. And we want to return with honor." Return with honor.
These are the most unoriginal thugs ever in the history of American politics. They can't even write their own crap. They steal it from someone else. Peace with honor. Recycled. New baloney made out of old baloney. Thank you, Dick. Let's go to the phones. Sarge joins us from Southern Mississippi. Hey, Sarge, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I've only got one thing to say.
Yes?
Troops are in the wrong Gulf.
Well, that is the
Mississippi, Louisiana Gulf, repairing what Haley Barbour refuses to even bother with. That's where the troops need to be, not in the Persian Gulf. Good gracious.
Yep, I gotta agree.
Listen, I'm going to tell you about something. I think you're really going to enjoy this. I'm trying to figure out how to get it up at unreportednews.net. But there's this fellow who contacted me by email, and he's got some really just awesome clips, the actual newscast from, like, the day Kennedy was assassinated. I mean, what was actually airing on the air, you know, taken straight off the air. And not restructured, not, you know, the actual words. He has Pearl Harbor and the Martin Luther King assassination, Robert Kennedy assassination, and all of this. And he's joining us at unreportednews.net, so I'm going to be trying to get him up as soon as possible. And I can't wait for you to hear this stuff, Bob. You are really just going to enjoy it. And
I know I will.
And one thing I did tell him, and this is something I made sure of before I even agreed to even talk with him about it, was anything this posted unreported news is always available to the Head On Radio Network, period. No question.
Bless your heart. We do appreciate that, Sarge.
So if you see something that you like, use it, pal. You know, that's what it's there for. But
we'll do. Yeah, keep us posted on when you get it posted up there, because we'll be on it like a duck on a June bug.
Well, this guy's been doing radio for 30 years. His name is David McKenzie. I don't know if you've ever... He calls himself King David McKenzie.
Oh, King David?
Yeah.
Sure, I've seen his stuff over on Bart Kopp and all over the web.
Well, he's with unreportednews.net now.
Wonderful.
Been talking with him, and he's probably going to be checking in with you before long, calling in some night. So,
that'd be great.
But, hey, this, man, you ought to hear this stuff. I mean, this guy is awesome, and I just, you know, I wish I had more knowledge of how to do this setup, because, man, these programs are just unbelievable. And I just, I wish I was a smarter man when I knew how to do this, but I'm going to get it up sooner or later. I'm going to get it up, but I look forward so much to having this stuff up, because it's, you know, I was listening to the Kennedy assassination, President Kennedy assassination. And one thing that I missed in it back when it happened was, for a while there was a report coming out that Lyndon Johnson was also shot in the arm, which eventually proved false. But when you listen to the newscast of what was going on that day, it's so different than what you hear now, because they were saying, we have an unconfirmed report, but we want you to know that we do have a report that says President Johnson was shot in the arm as well. We don't know that that's the case, but we do have that unconfirmed report. We'll update you more. Today, our media would say, oh, we interrupt this program to tell you Anna Nicole Smith had a pimple.
And a tattoo.
Yeah, I mean...
And there were piercings you just don't want to know about.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's what passes for news today that really scares me. When you go, like, on the Pearl Harbor broadcast that King David has, it says, Bruiser Kennard makes the tackle, and then all of a sudden it breaks into the news about Pearl Harbor. Well, it so happened, I met Bruiser Kennard because he coached a guy named Jim Dunaway from Columbia, Mississippi, back at the University of Mississippi. And I met Bruiser Kennard when he came down to Columbia one time, and when I heard that name, I hadn't thought of that man since the day I'd met him. And I looked at it and said, holy cow, what to talk about, a blast from the past. But it's some really good stuff. I hope everybody will enjoy it. But
Well, like I said, shoot us an email and make sure we know when you've posted it there, because we will make good use of it.
Well, I tell you what, now, like I said, it's totally, Horn has complete and total access to it. Use it any way Horn feels that it would be beneficial to Horn. And there's, as always, it's pure donation to Horn, because we support Horn 100%.
Bless your heart, Sarge. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, partner. I'm going to let you go. And you get your butt back into almost heaven, West Virginia.
Well, I'll tell you, it's tough to get away from here, because the antiquarian legal system down here more or less says that I can't leave till I get the will probated.
Well, then, okay, I tell you what, we got Betsy in the chat room. You're talking about heavens to Betsy. Well, maybe Betsy can help you out and give you a little bit of that West Virginia heaven. Hey, I'll see you, Bob. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
See you, Sarge. I do, I mean, as much as I love mid-70 degree days in late February, I've got to get back. But I will be here for a while yet, because, well, you know, things just don't work the same all over the place, and laws are very medieval in places like Alabama and Mississippi and Arkansas and so forth. So it will take a couple more weeks to get this thing probated, and then maybe I can load up some stuff and head for home. As we do run downhill toward the end of things this evening, I wanted to pass one more thing along to you. Now, and this is one of those compare and contrast kind of stories. Even though we are in the Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears news cycle, with occasional digressions into watching airplanes land safely. Jesus, I can't believe I saw that earlier today. It just did. CNN broke in to show footage of a plane landing safely, as if it didn't happen thousands of times a day. But even though we're in that cycle, if it turned out that a guy with ties to raising funds for so-called terrorists got busted, and if it turned out that, say, he had been a significant political donor to a Democratic candidate or candidates, do you believe that it is safe to speculate that the Anna Nicole Smith, Britney Spears plane landing safely news cycle would get broken into a little bit more than just a little bit? Well, yeah, it would have. Nonstop terrorist Democrats. How many of them are there in America? Am I wrong? Well, straight off the page from the Associated Press, February 20th, by way of darn good blogger and a fellow who's been on the show, R.J. Eskow. A New York man accused of trying to help terrorists in Afghanistan has donated some $15,000 to the White House, or to the House Republicans Campaign Committee over 3 years. Abdul Tawala Ibn Ali. Oh, Jesus. You know, can't you guys name yourselves David Michael Mixon or something? Oh, wait, that was his name. Abdul Tawala Ibn Ali Alishtari pleaded not guilty Friday this past in U.S. District Court in Manhattan to charges that include terrorism financing, material support of terrorism, and money laundering. From April 2002 till August 2004, the man, also known as Michael Mixon,
gave donations ranging from $500 to $5,000 to the National Republican Congressional Campaign Committee. That's according to Federal Election Commission reports and two campaign donor tracking websites. The Associated Press tried to get comment from the NRCC, but surprisingly, they didn't return phone calls. Now, here's the allegation of what Mr. Mixon, or Mr. Alishtari, 53 years old, of Ardsley, New York, did, allegedly. He accepted an unspecified amount of money to transfer $152,000 to Pakistan and Afghanistan to support an Afghanistan terrorist training camp. He also stands accused of causing the transfer of about $25,000 from a bank account in New York to an account in Montreal, money the government says was to be used to provide material support to terrorists. He also is alleged to have schemed to defraud investors by obtaining millions of dollars in a loan investment scheme that he called the Flat Electronic Data Interchange and that promised high guaranteed rates of return. He's facing, in the worst of all possible circumstances, 95 years in Club Fed. He identified his occupation as either the owner, president, or chief executive of a business called Global Protector, Inc., or GlobalProtector.net, Inc., and according to his resume, he is an industrialist and philanthropist and references previous connections to the Republican Party. His resume also says in 2003 that he was named a National Republican Senatorial Committee Inner Circle Member for Life. Also named to the NRCC's White House Business Advisory Committee. He was also named the NRCC's New York State Businessman of the Year in 2002 and 2003. Do not hold your breath waiting for this story to light up the news cycle. A guy accused of being a terrorist financier is also a significant money donor to the National Republican Campaign Committee, and it can't bust through Anna Nicole Smith. Just let that soak in, because we're done. This is the end of the end of the show. But can you, for the life of you, imagine the wall-to-wall blast coverage? I think Wolf Blitzer's beard would fall out. Tweety Matthews would be enraptured on air. The breathiness of all the newscasters and reporters taken together would suck out a significant portion of the oxygen in the atmosphere if this was a Democrat. But it's just another Republican Party killer facilitator. Right? Right. What a fun little night we've had. Sure, I'm glad you were along for it. Coming up next, Jeff Allen Wolf and Wolf on the Air, right here on the Head On Radio Network. Hope you'll join us. Don't join us. Just don't ever leave us. There's no reason to. There's always something on the horn. Right? Right. Tonight's show is produced by my lovely, talented, dedicated, darling wife, Agnes. It was engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programming on the horn. He's got a fundraiser going on right now. If you like what you hear, if what you hear matters to you, support Ben, please. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida, makes all of our computers behave themselves. and keeps them from being attacked by nasty little UDP packets from the DOD. And Halliburton. Oh, that's odd. You know, his explanation of all of that is up on the blog at headonradionetwork.com if you want to check it out. We have wonderful moderators in the chat room, and we've got a couple of excellent news ninja bloggers, Susan and Jean, on the headonradionetwork.com blog. Everything on the Horn happens because of the dedication and the hard work of several thousand members of the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They get up every day and they go out and they build the American dream. And by supporting this network, they're helping to save the American dream. And always, 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 RMR, it's all good.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Obama changes tune towards opposition. Prince Harry may face Iraq call-up. Blair announces Iraq withdrawal plan. Is this because of Harry? Cheney says British troop withdrawal is a positive sign. What a GOP spin that one is. John McCain suffers Republican mutiny back home. Bush friends, loyal and Texan, remain a force. Gambian president's cure for AIDS, green paste and bananas. Missile shield in Poland, Czech Republic to counter Iran, says Rice. CIA leak case turned over to jury. Obama and Clinton may skip early debates. President of Czech Republic calls man-made global warming a myth and questions Gore's sanity. California split? A shakeup in American structure? Fed chairman is optimistic about economy. Al-Qaeda chiefs are seen to regain power. Presidential hopeful's buzzword takes off. Scientists prepare way for bionic man. And scientists finding ways to regrow fingers. I wonder if they can... never mind. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.